Hey, good morning, church. It's good to be able to be with you, even though we're distant. You know, though we're apart, we can physically be the body fellowshipping together through this technology. So let's be the body today. Can we do that? On the Facebook feed, say hi. Let us know you're there. Say hi and greet each other so that they know that they are seen and you appreciate being with them. And let us know how we can pray for you. If you put a prayer request up there, if you put a question up there, we will be praying over or we will reach out to you. Even though we're not together physically, I want us to work as much as we can to still be together as a body worshiping, to learn, to discern, and to apply God's word in our life. So here's an easy response for you to write in those comments. How many of you are afraid of the dark? You can do a thumbs up. You can say a me, however you want to do that. If you're not afraid of the dark, how many of you are uncomfortable in the dark? Personally, I don't like the dark. I feel like in the dark, everything, I can hear everything. All my senses are greatly alerted. It's like everything's on pins and needles, you know? All your senses are just, what's going on? What's going on? Because we can't see. I can't see where I'm going, and I don't want to fall. And I don't know what else is around me in the dark. So I tend to take smaller steps than my normal giant steps that I would take. Things hide in the dark, man. In the middle of the night, you don't know what you're going to run into. You could run into mice. You could run into piles of your own clothes. You could run into furniture. You could run into kids' toys that are left around, especially those Legos. Man, that hurts. You could run into an army of iron decorative snowmen. Okay, I should probably explain that. So when Christmas time comes here, we have all these decorations that we put out. And one of the things that my wife loves, she loves to collect those Longaberger baskets. And she has an iron, cast iron snowman that holds two baskets. And it sits on the floor. And so that even when it's not dark, but especially when it's dark, if I'm going down the hallway, it's easy for me to jam my toe right into that iron cast decorative snowman. So that makes me even more scared of the dark. The dark is scary because you can't see where you are. You can't see what the path forward is. You can't see what's in front of you and what might be around you. So things in the dark can be scary. But light, you see, light illuminates the path, reveals our obstacles, and brings us hope. That's what light does. Jesus talks about him being the light of the world. David in our Psalms often talks about the Lord is our light, and that's what we're going to look at today. Today we're going to be looking at tomorrow's Psalms. So as we continue through July in a psalm a day, today's the 26th, tomorrow's the 27th. So today I'm going to be sharing what you'll be reading tomorrow for those following along in Psalm 27. What we see is there are two kinds of light. There's light in front of us that turns, that lights up the pathway, that casts out, right? It makes your pathway viable. You can see where you're going. You can see the twists and turns. You can see the obstacles in the, unlike in the dark, you can see the iron snowman and avoid trying to hit your toe on it. But there's also light inside of us. That light shines from within you to show others who you are, what you're made up of, what you're made for, who's the real you. That's the light that shines forth. Turn in your Bible apps or in your Bibles to Psalm 27, and we're going to be looking at specifically the first half of that psalm. As I was digging more into that psalm, I realized I could actually do a whole series just on this one psalm. But I want to focus on a few things that jump out at me and spoke to me as I was preparing this message. So starting in verse 1, hold on, I got to switch, I got to get used to this. There it is. All right. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? There's two big statements that we're seeing there. The first is the Lord is my light, and that light is my salvation. David is saying and using the name for the Lord of Jehovah, the one true God, the great I am. He is my personal God. He is my Lord, David is saying, who I serve. He lights the way for me. He shines out from within me. He is my hope. David's saying to me, whatever you see in me that's shining, whatever you see in me that brings hope, this shows love, that's my Lord. I shine because of him. The second statement is the Lord is my stronghold. Looking at other translations, other words used in other translations, my fortress, my protector, my strength, my defender. He's where I run to. He's where I find rest. He is my defense. He is my refuge. The Lord is my light and my refuge. And since the Lord is my light and my refuge, I can make this declaration that he says here. Who am I to fear? Who should I be afraid of? What thing in the dark, what thing in the unknown, what thing in the unexpected can harm me? Because the Lord is my light and my refuge. Now let's personalize that passage. Because my Lord, Jesus, is my light and Jesus is my refuge, and the light overcomes the dark, why should I be afraid? Who should I be afraid of? What should I be afraid of? I should be bold in facing the unknown. I should be courageous when facing the enemy. I should, as he said to Joshua, fear not, for I am with you, even when I'm in the dark, because the Lord my God is with me. David goes on to give us examples of when we could feel afraid, and specifically when he is feeling afraid. So in verse 2, it says, when evildoers come against me to devour my flesh. Well, yeah, that works. It makes me afraid. I mean, I'm not a big believer in zombies, but if zombies were to be true or anything else that would devour my flesh, yeah, that would make me afraid. But what's he say? My foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. The Lord is my protector. The enemies stumbled and fell on their own. He continues, though an army deploys against me. Sure, that makes me worry. If I knew an army was coming to attack me, to take over me, to inhabit me, I'd be afraid. That makes me worry. But he says, my heart is not afraid because the Lord is my defense. Though a war breaks out against me, folks, it's 2020, but anybody doubt that that could happen? that a war could break out even before 2020, but especially in 2020? Yeah, that makes me afraid. But he says, still, I am confident. The Lord is my hope. People who want to destroy me, armies sent to overtake me, kingdoms sent to conquer me, still, David says, I can be confident. David can be confident because he knows where he places his trust. He knows where he can find his hope. He knows who has his back. We can be confident because I know where I place my trust. I know where I find my hope. And I know who has my back. I'm confident because of where I find my light and where I find my refuge. David's not saying, because I am a great warrior, which he was, because I am a powerful king, which he was, I will defeat them who stand against me, which he did time and time again of his enemies that circled him. But here, David is saying, my Lord will defend and protect me against the enemy of my soul and his purposes and his plans. When he goes to attack me, he will stumble and fall because my Lord is there to defend me. Jesus is the light so you can see and you can shine forth. Your refuge for a place to hide and a place to rest and a place to be refreshed. It's all Jesus. Jesus was God's plan to save and redeem you and me and this whole world. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. He is the path for our relationship with God to be restored so that we have fellowship with our Father, to be loved by our Father, to be forgiven by our Father, to be accepted and embraced by our Father. It is all available because Jesus is our Lord. And because David knows God as his own personal Lord, we see his heart as we go forward. In verse 4, he says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. David's saying, what I desire is to be with my Lord. To see him, gaze on him, to seek him and seek him out, to stay with him, to dwell, to know him and to be fully known, to be fully loved, to be called the beloved son, to be called the beloved daughter of the God Most High. That's what he wanted. He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. His one desire, what he wanted the most. When do you feel the presence of God? This is not about where you feel comfortable. This is about where you feel at peace, quiet, rest. Where you were drawn to focus on God in all three persons, the love of the Father, the grace shown by the sacrifice of the Son, and the ministering of the Spirit to you personally. Where do you go to be refreshed? What do you do to prepare for that, to enter his courts? To enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Dwell in the house of the Lord. I could not get that phrase out of my head all week. Dwell, stay, remain. The house of the Lord, where he resides, where his presence is. Where do you go? Type it in. If there's a place you go, if there's a way that you go to dwell, to stay, to wait in the presence of the Lord, that may minister to others who are seeing it as a fleeting goal to find that place of dwelling. Is it in nature? It is for me. There's something about being out in nature and having a really wide perspective that makes me feel very, very small. And instead of being afraid and feeling very, very small, I feel quiet. I feel contentment. Is it as you worship on your own, personally? Is it when you open up his word and dwell and stay in it? Are you a person that can dwell in prayer? Sometimes that's hard for me. I can pray, but to dwell and just stay in that moment, in his presence in prayer, sometimes is very, very fleeting for me. Is it in fellowship with others? Just chilling and feeling the fellowship of the Lord with the body. Let's look at the words David uses there. He says to gaze into his beauty, to look at it, to seek his face, to inquire at his temple. All of those add up to the same thing for me. To stop, time out, and to listen. To stop and to listen. Church, I believe we talk too much and listen too little. We interpret or reinterpret God's blessings over us to be his blessings on whatever we decide to do. So we read God's blessing in Numbers and we look at it as a rubber stamp on whatever we wish to do, our own agenda, our own preferences. When we talk with God, we're doing that. We're talking. It's a monologue of us to God rather than stop and listen for him to be talking back to us. We look for God to bless our way, keep our way, make his face to shine upon our way. And sometimes we don't know any better because we don't stop and listen. To gaze, to seek, to meditate in the presence in the house of the Lord. And when we are to inquire, some translations say to inquire at his temple, it's about his will, not mine. It's about inquiring what he would have me to do, what he has for me, the next steps for me, rather than me telling him, here's what I'm going to do, here's what I'm going to do, here's what I'm going to do. How do we make that switch? Stop and listen. We don't spend that time dwelling. And then we wonder why we don't feel his peace. But God's peace comes when I release my control. God's peace comes when I release the things I'm hanging on to and the control of it. Here's why. As long as it's in my control, it's on my plate, it's my responsibility, so I have to think it through. I have to come up with plan A, B, C, D, and whatever may come. I have to make sure it all fits together. I have to hold the weight of the effectiveness and the execution. That kind of planning of our life leads more to striving for perfectionism than it does resting in his peace. But when I stop and I listen, I can move forward in God's plan. Because he's leading it, and I'm following as a faithful steward of what he gives me. Following God's plan brings peace no matter the circumstances. While my plan is always trying to anticipate and overcome the circumstances, the peace and the joy that Paul talks about, is no matter what happens, whether he has a lot or whether he has little. But my plans are always based on what could happen, then what would I do? What could happen, then what would I do? It's anticipating to try to overcome them. Rather, his plan, his joy, is regardless of the circumstances. If you want God's blessing, you need to be walking in God's plan. And his plan is revealed by dwelling in the house of your Lord. For some of you, you may be weary from the battle of following your own plan. It's exhausting. I know. I can be a control freak. I struggle with perfectionism and then the procrastination that comes out of it. You want his peace, you just need to find some rest. You see, your plan is not bringing all the results you want. You may be anxious and constantly worried, but you don't know how to get off that treadmill. I want to give you some steps towards that. It starts with confessing that you've been pursuing your way instead of his. It's just saying it out loud, telling God your fears, your feelings, your frustrations. Get it out. It's not helping you hanging on. The next is you need to find where you feel closest to God and let his spirit minister to your soul. That's what being refreshed is all about, dwelling in the house of the Lord. Listen for him. Let it wash over you. Finally, you need to declare that you're going to change your path, that you're going to seek his face and find his plan, that that's your motivation, that that's now your goal. For you to be willing to release your plan for his. And then what? We see what as we continue on in verse 5. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. That all comes after dwelling in the house of the Lord. And as a result of that, David ends the psalm this way. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Wait for the Lord. When we follow God's plan, we can be certain to see God's goodness. We wait for the Lord because he knows us. He loves us. He cares for us. Now let me personalize that. You wait for your Lord because he knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. And he will never disappoint you. What about when it doesn't make sense, Pastor Dan? What about when I'm not hearing? But things still have to get done. We go back and we dwell in his house. We wait on the Lord. We stay strong and courageous, and we wait some more. Not for the daily things just need to get done. We continue with those. But for the things that are causing us fear, the things that are hurting us and causing us anxiety, things that make us feel exhausted, we wait on the Lord. We're not always waiting for his answers. We're waiting for his presence and his spirit to wash over us. To follow God with Jesus as your Lord and spirit, as your guide, means we have to get our PhDs on waiting on the Lord and dwelling in his house. It's not easy. I am not a patient person. I don't like to wait for anything. But if I want peace, if I want to follow instead of lead, I need to wait on the Lord. So what are you waiting for? How can we pray for you to be strong and courageous in the waiting? How can we help you hold on to the hope and to help you find your rest in him so you can be refreshed? May we, as we move forward, prioritizing dwelling in the house of the Lord. And may we grow strong and courageous in waiting on the Lord.